Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining our program. And thank you for your patience. We've been doing things differently the last couple of nights and tonight too, because I'm traveling and bringing you during these days some pre-recorded messages that I think you'll enjoy, that you'll enjoy passing on to others, and that really correspond to the spirit of this program tonight. I'm going to share with you a sermon that I preached on my online daily masses, and it was on August the 14th, because in the Catholic community, we honor St. Maximilian Kolbe. Now, many of you may know his story, where he gave his life in exchange for a prisoner in Auschwitz, and the prisoner, you know, was begging for his family and so forth, and this man, Maximilian Kolbe, was a priest. He didn't have a wife and children. So he stepped up and he said, let me take the place of this prisoner and being condemned to death. And they allowed that. And he's known for this act of heroism. But as I point out in this sermon, that act of heroism, heroic as it was really another manifestation of a heroism that he had expressed in another way, in how he spoke up against and stood against the evils of the Nazi party. I also give the example of another man whom the Catholic Church honors. He was a bishop and a cardinal by the name of Clemens von Galen, lived at the same time, and preached against the evils of the same Nazi party. Twin evils. Disregard for the right to life, disregard for the freedom of the church. Now, listen. In this sermon, I make a very clear point. The Democrat Party today is embracing the same evils and must have the same opposition. Let's say that again. The Democrat Party today is embracing those same evils that the Nazi Party embraced, and it must be exposed and it must be opposed. There's no other option for us as citizens, there's no other option for us as clergy than to speak up against the evils that this party embraces. So, I think you're going to enjoy this sermon. Let's say a little prayer before we watch it, and I encourage you to share it with others. Lord, we are people of your word. We are people of your spirit. We know how, because you have taught us to distinguish good from evil, to distinguish right from wrong, to distinguish godly ways from evil ways. God, bless our nation and free us from the evils which, unfortunately, the Democrat Party has embraced. Hook, line, and sinker, without apology, they have embraced the evil of disregard for innocent human life. They have embraced unrestricted killing of babies by abortion. And Lord God, they have not respected the freedom of your church, not only to proclaim the faith, but to live it in public life. Democrat policies and mandates and attitudes have sought to squelch religious freedom rather than to do what government is supposed to do, and that is provide a haven for the people to live out their religious freedom. Lord, awaken us to this moment, and may we follow the example of godly men and women who in the past have stood against the evils that this party has now embraced. We pray through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So now, friends, the sermon I gave just a few weeks ago on the evils that we confront in politics. Please watch and enjoy.
Thank you for being with us, friends, on this special day. We wear red because St. Maximilian Kolbe, a priest, was also a martyr. He sacrificed his life out of love for Christ. And he was a martyr exactly 80 years ago, It was 1941. On July the 29th of that year, that is when, as Father Kolbe, for reasons we will make clearer in a moment, was a prisoner in Auschwitz, and the deputy commander ordered that 10 men be starved to death because as it was retribution for three inmates who were believed to have escaped. So obviously it was a way to intimidate them all from trying to escape. One of those chosen to die, who was a sergeant in the Polish army and a father of two children, burst into tears, talking about his family, and Father Kolbe saw this and stepped up and volunteered to take the place of that man, saying, look, he has a wife, he has children. And the deputy commander agreed to it, agreed to the swap. And so Father Kolbe then was brought with the others to starvation and was killed, was martyred. Now, most remember him for that act of love, and it is a supreme act of love corresponding to what we've heard in the gospel, right? The Lord said to us, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He gave his life for us. And St. John brings that out in the first reading that we heard today. We ought also to lay down our lives for one another. See how they love each other was one of the things that was said about the early Christians, and many people don't quote the second part of that quote, but it is, and how they are willing to lay down their lives for each other. But the love that Father Kolbe expressed was not expressed simply in that generous act at the culmination of his life at the age of 47. That was indeed the culmination of it. But it was that very same love that had led him to stand against the power of evil prior to even being in Auschwitz as a prisoner. And I want you to understand the unity of this love. This was expressed and was active throughout his priesthood, throughout his life. Saints are not canonized because of a single act that they do. They are canonized because they lived heroic virtue during their lives. And Father Kolbe studied in Rome, and in 1917, so some decades earlier than this act of martyrdom, he founded the Militia of the Immaculata. Now, the Immaculata Mary, preserved by Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, and her Savior too, preserved but in a unique way from sin because of her unique role as Mother of God, he said, we need a militia. Notice that word. Is that a word that you use every day? Is that a word that you identify with yourself? Are you part of a militia? Some of you I know are very devoted to St. Maximilian, and you know exactly what this is about, but let's hear what he's saying here. Militia means we have to fight. Militia means there's a battle going on. There's a war going on. Militia, there's an enemy. And we have to step up to the enemy and oppose him. Fight him. Eliminate him. The militia. Because Maximilian was smart enough, was perceptive enough, had enough of the Spirit of God to be able to see the enemies all around him, the enemies of the faith. He wanted to convert them all. He saw the evil of Freemasonry. How much do we talk about that these days? We want to be devoted to St. Maximilian, but hey, look at the evils that he was pointing out. Evils, heresies. Error has victims. Falsehood, false teaching creates victims. It harms people. So our love for people and St. Maximilian's love for people was not just, hey, let me step up and take the place of this prisoner. It was, hey, let me step up and protect these people, God's flock, from the dangers, the poison of these erroneous teachings. How did he do that? As a priest, Polish priest, he founded a monastery near Warsaw. And you know what he did from this monastery? He created a printing and publishing house and a broadcasting studio. He wanted to get the truth out. You see it in the spirit of the apostles. You read in the Acts of the Apostles. They wanted to use every possible way to spread the truth, because they knew that they had been given a truth by Jesus Christ, and that there were a lot of falsehoods, errors, heresies around. They needed to go out. It was a war. He founded the militia, a spiritual militia. So he created this monastery, and many, many friars, Franciscan friars, started coming to it. By the end of the 1930s, there were some 700 Franciscans there. It was a publishing house and a broadcasting place. And what did he write about? Well, first of all, he was convinced correctly by 1938 that the Nazis were going to seize Poland. And as they approached, step by step, little by little, he saw what was coming. He started to send the friars away from the monastery, because they were coming, these Nazis, not just for Poland, but for that monastery. Kolbe decided to stay put. He stayed at his post. He saw the enemy coming, told the others to leave, many of the others. He stayed with about 36 of them. It essentially was transformed into a hospital for wounded soldiers as the violence grew greater. And with the Nazis breathing down his neck, he continued in his published materials, and this is the key point I want to make here, to expose and criticize them. Oh boy, there's a lot of people that have a lot of lessons to learn on this one. I'm talking about people in the clergy. Here we've got a priest who's canonized as a saint. He's being celebrated today in churches, in parishes, in dioceses. He's being celebrated today by deacons, by priests, by bishops, some of whom would not follow his example if you paid them. What I mean is, the way St. Maximilian Kolbe, through printing, publishing, broadcasting, criticized the Nazi Party, exposed their evils, refuted their lies. Lies about what? Lies about the dignity of human life. They had an extermination policy. They were anti-life. They were a culture of death. Lies about the freedom of the church. They were opposed to the freedom of the church. They cracked down on the freedom of the church. So these two key rights that we have, life and liberty, the Nazi Party was opposed to this. They had the wrong idea about the dignity of the human person, the wrong idea about the freedom of the individual, especially vis-a-vis the state. And we'll get into that more in just a second. He, Father Maximilian Kolbe, published writings against the evils and lies of Nazism, and therefore, he was picked up and arrested and sent to Auschwitz. So yes, we celebrate the fact that he stepped up and took the place of a prisoner, but let's not ignore or miss the point of what was going on here. That stepping up and taking the place of that prisoner was a slap in the face to the Nazis. It was a challenge to their utter disregard for human life and human family. Here's a man who was a father, he had children. But even in the absence of that, these Nazis didn't care about human life. It's just disposable. Three escaped, let's kill 10. Just absolute disregard for human life in these death camps. They were sick. And they had a sick and destructive philosophy that was completely blind, willfully blind, to the dignity of the human person and the fact that nobody is authorized, no political party, no government, no power on earth is authorized to kill an innocent person. Whether it's a father or not, whether it's a priest or a layman, you're not authorized to kill the innocent. You're not authorized to put into practice your euthanasia program like the Nazis did. And by the way, while Maximilian Kolbe was giving his life, notice he was giving his life for Christ. It wasn't just for the prisoner. It was in witness to Jesus Christ, and it was in witness against the Nazi lies. As he was doing that, a bishop in Munster by the name of Clemens von Galen was preaching thunderously against the same evils and lies of the Nazis and their extermination program of euthanasia and killing the innocent. And he, by his fiery sermons, became very well known, and ultimately he too was opposed by the Nazis, but they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do about this man. They were afraid to kill him. He was a bishop, and then he was made a cardinal. And ultimately, like Maximilian Kolbe, he was raised to the honors of the altars. He was beatified by the church in 2005. And you know, blessed Clemens von Galen, such a model. Both of these priests are models for us. That's why I put no stock whatsoever in those who tell me to keep quiet about politics. I'm sorry. There's a way to do it, and we strive to do it in a way consistent with the mission of the church. But my goodness, if the mission of the church requires us to be silent when a political party absolutely tramples underfoot the dignity of human life, well, and I don't know what kind of church you're talking about, but it's not the one I belong to. To think that somehow being a priest requires us to keep quiet when a political party is exterminating people and suppressing the freedom of the very church we claim to belong to? No, there's no room there for silence. You are a militia. You stand up against the enemy. You look the evil in the face and you expose it. Like Paul said to the Ephesians, have nothing to do with the fruitless works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11, but rather expose them. That's what Clemens von Galen did. And in the beatification ceremony, the sermon given at that time by Cardinal Jose Martins said, we have the same evils today. And we have to be inspired by Clemens von Galen's example. We have to be inspired to do the same thing. And Kolbe said, we have to have a militia, spiritual militia, to fight against these evils. So now in our day, as Cardinal Martin said, we have the same kind of evils when it comes to attacks on the dignity of human life and attacks on the freedom of the church. My friend Dinesh D'Souza wrote a book a few years back called Death of a Nation. If you haven't read it, if you haven't seen the movie built on the book, Death of a Nation, please look it up. Watch it this weekend. We have got to know about the research that Dinesh did for this book and for this movie. And here he pointed out something very clearly, that the platform, released in the 1920s, the platform of the Nazi Party, get ready for this one, friends, has formed the ideological basis for the platform and practices and policies of the Democrat Party in the United States of America today. And he lays it out. Again, let me say it clearly. It was the platform of the Nazi Party, released in the 1920s, that has become the model for the platform of the Democrat Party today in the United States. And let me say this just as clearly. It is with the same vigor. It is with the same clarity that we in the Catholic Church in 2021 in the United States of America, that I, as a Catholic priest, inspired by the example of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who preached and wrote and published and broadcasted against the evils and lies of the Nazi regime, inspired by the example of Bishop Clemens von Galen, now blessed, as Maximilian is now saint, who preached vigorously against the lies of that same political party, the Nazis, it is inspired by that example that I declare to you today, that it is the same lies about the human person, the same denial of the right to life of the human person that is being propagated by the Democrat Party today in the United States, and it must be opposed, and it must be stopped, and it must be preached about. Not looked at from a distance with our hands folded and, oh, we have to be neutral. We can't be political. Can you imagine what St. Maximilian Kolbe, again, here's the thing, friends. He's being honored in churches all over the world today by some of the very same clergy who tell priests like me to shut up because we're too political. There are some clergy that don't want me to even be a priest because I'm too political. I shouldn't be broadcasting. I shouldn't be preaching. I shouldn't be doing these masses. There are some that are telling me that in the church today. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be silent. Because the Democrat Party today, you just look at their platform. This is no secret. This is no kind of special formula that we have to figure out or go into a trance and get a crystal ball and get some divine revelation or ponder it and figure it out and discern it and consult and, oh, is this right? Is this right? And debate it. No, it's as clear as day. This is a political party that stands for unrestricted and taxpayer-funded killing of babies. Is an absolute disregard for the right to life and an absolute disregard for the freedom of the church. Are we oblivious to the fact that we have had to go in our ministry too? And the Little Sisters of the Poor and various dioceses and Catholic University of America and Thomas Aquinas College and all kinds of Catholic ministries and Christian ministries had to go all the way up to the United States Supreme Court to fight against a mandate imposed by the Democrats against our religious freedom, trying to force us to violate our faith. This is not different from what the Nazis did. And aside from these two fundamental evils, disregarding the right to life and disregarding the freedom of the church, again, Dinesh D'Souza lays it out very clearly. Here he did the research that the whole view of the state and the relationship of government to human rights and to human activities, the whole view of this that the Democrat Party pushes is the Nazi view. Let me read a few sentences here. The leading Nazis were all committed socialists, as we can see from the Nazi 25-point platform released in the 1920s. The Nazis called for nationalization of large corporations and trusts, government control of banking and credit, the seizure of land without compensation for public use, the splitting of large land holdings into smaller units, confiscation of war profits, prosecution of bankers and other lenders for usury, abolition of incomes unearned by work, profit sharing for workers in large companies, a broader pension system paying higher benefits, and universal free health care and education. Much of this is creepily familiar, Some of the language is dated. Try crossing out the word usury and replacing it with its modern equivalent, interest. Cross out the word Jew and substitute Wall Street greed. Now, the Nazi platform of 1920 reads like a progressive platform jointly drafted by Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. If read aloud at a left-wing gathering on campus, it would provoke thunderous applause. We're living it today. And if we don't realize what the militia is that we need to be part of, a militia of truth, a militia of the Spirit, as St. Maximilian would say, under the mantle of Our Lady who showed Christ to the world and brought Jesus into our midst, if we don't realize what it is we have to be part of today to oppose these evils, well, brothers and sisters, we're missing the whole point of honoring St. Maximilian Kolbe today. You know, the man for whom he gave his life, can you imagine this, was present at the beatification and canonization ceremonies for St. Maximilian Kolbe and lived to the age of 93. How that man must have felt. He felt. He experienced the saintly love that this priest showed him. But again, let's never forget, that saintly love was no less clear in the writings and the broadcasting he did to expose the lies of the Nazis than it was in stepping up and taking the place of the prisoner. These must not be separated. Because both of them were that vigorous readiness, the same love that inspired the preaching of Clemens von Galen, that readiness to stand up when evil asserts itself, when lies and falsehoods assault the dignity of the human person and the freedom of the church, to stand up and say no. That's what you and I are called to do today in the United States of America, and stop taking refuge in this political correctness and in this absolute drive to silence and, oh, we can't be divisive and, oh, we can't be political. For goodness sake, when are we going to stand up and defend the dignity of the human person and the freedom of the church against an evil political party? Every political party makes mistakes. No political party conforms perfectly to the gospel. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a political party that embraces evil principles, attacks the very foundations of human rights and of civilization. And that's the Democrat Party in the United States of America today. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. This is why the church puts forward to us the example of St. Maximilian Kolbe and Blessed Clemens von Galen. This is why the church puts forward these men. Because the church knows in her wisdom that the same evils reassert themselves in society generation after generation. And that the defeat of these evils in one generation does not automatically secure their defeat in the next. So let's rise to the occasion. Let's be inspired by these men. Let's open our mouths. And let's once again set our nation and the world on the path of a culture of life. Blessed Clemens von Galen, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. Amen. So, friends, I hope as you were watching that, you had a few people run through your mind that you need to share that with, maybe a pastor, a priest, a voter, maybe a Democrat voter who needs to think twice about how they're casting their vote. We've got important midterm elections coming up. We're going to be talking a lot about them. We got to win back the House. We got to win back the Senate. That we do in 22. And then in 24, we've got a beautiful White House that we've got to put back into pro-life hands, which in our day and age, not that it's always this way or has to be this way,
But in our day and age, well, what that means is the Republican hands. Let's be clear. Let's be firm. And let's pray. Let's pray using the words Jesus gave us, because they really summarize what we need to ask for America. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us. Go to prolifevote.com and get ready for the elections and share the sermon that you just saw. And thank you for all that you do for the good of America. Please follow me on social media, Fr. Frank Pavone. You see the address there. And Right Side Broadcasting, of course, at RSB Network. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.